house to do this. That's all right, isn't it? Well, it's been a busy week, I just got to tell you. As a matter of fact, I can feel it. But we got moved. We are officially Lawrenceville residents now. And thank you for all that. A lot of work, and it's amazing how much stuff you can accumulate over the years. Amen to that? If you don't believe me, just take inventory of what you have, and you'll know what I'm talking about. I also want to thank the guys for coming out and the girls for coming out and helping us yesterday unload, and the food that you guys brought, appreciate it. My clothes are tighter this morning for some reason, but we're still nibbling on the food that you brought, and it was really good, so we appreciate that. But it's been an experience. I told some of you, this morning I went to my wife and I said, "Ching, where's my shoes at?" And then I got my shoes on and I didn't want to come to church with no shirt on. So I said, "Ching, could you please tell me where my shirts are at?" But she told me where it was at, and I know where they're at. They're in the living room now. But we got to move all that stuff. But it's been an experience, but I'm getting good at moving, so if you need help moving, you just give me a ring. I got all the equipment you'll need. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter 19, Acts 19. I've talked about this sermon. I've mentioned it before, and I told you I was going to preach it, and I'm going to this morning. It is a sermon entitled, "Did It Take?" And it's basically a sermon about your conversion experience and whether or not it was what it needed to be when you made it. Was it authentic? Were you doing it for the right reasons? And we'll talk about that. How many of you remember when you were baptized? All right, on the count of three, I want you to give me the date. Ready? One, two, three. September 25th, 1977. All right, how many of you do not know the date you were baptized? Shame on you. How many of you know your spouse's anniversary date? How many of you know your spouse's birth date? Don't you think maybe you need to know your baptismal date? So here's your assignment for this morning. When you get home after church, dig up, call the church where you were baptized, whatever it is. I think Sherry and I could find most of them. And ask us, humbly ask us, "Carson, Sherry, when was I baptized?" And we'll tell you. So the next time I say 1, 2, 3, everybody will know what date that you were baptized. I was baptized a long time ago. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt I did it for the right reasons. I really do. How many of you feel like you did it for the right reasons? Don't raise them too high. We're going to talk about that this morning. I have to tell you, my conversion experience was really boring. I mean, it really was. When I hear about convicted murderers and rapists and mobsters that are thrown into prison, they throw away the key, yet their time in prison, they are transformed and converted to Christ. Amen? They give their life to Christ. And I want you to remember this. No, Christ doesn't give up on anyone. Now, when I read the story of Jeffrey Dahmer, I have to step back. You remember the story? And they said he was converted to Christ. Now, I don't have that confirmation to know that. But if he was, praise God. Really. And no matter what they've done, no matter how low they stooped, and remember this, when you're thinking about that person in your mind right now, and maybe that person is a family member, God doesn't give up on anyone. They can still come to repentance. Say amen. They can still come to repentance, no matter how far they've stooped. So you keep on praying, you keep on lifting them up in prayer, and maybe, just maybe, they might come to repentance, give their life to Christ and be baptized. Well, here's my boring experience as a toddler growing up in the church. My great-grandmother and great-grandfather went to church, Rolla and Bethel Glisby. Don't ever name your kids Rolla and Bethel Glisby. But I'll tell you what, two of the most faithful people I've ever met. My grandma and grandpa, Homer Walker was his name. I have some weird names in my family. Her name was Donna. It's pretty good. Some of you, Donna's all right, right? My mother's name, Sarah Root, you met her. My dad's deceased now. His name was Billy Buck Root. And my grandpa Elmo, you just had to know him. You know exactly why he called him Billy Buck. That's what he called him. But they were raised in the church. So it was just natural for me to be raised in a church. So my mom and dad drug me to church. Had a drug problem. I told you it before. No, don't have to laugh again. And I was raised in church from almost infancy all the way to today. And no matter what goes on in my life, good, bad, ugly, happy, whatever it is, I'm dedicated to the church, are you? I'm going to go to church no matter what happens in my life, and I hope you will too. I really am. So this is what happened. On September 25th, 1977, Joe Nykirk, friend of mine, we decided to give our lives to Christ. The guy preaching was Chester Groves. Randy probably remembers Chester Groves. Anybody else remember Chester Groves? Do you really, Bill? Chester Groves, gospel in a nutshell. And he rolled it out and he'd explain it to us. And as kids, we thought that was the neatest little thing. Well, adults thought the same thing. When the invitation hymn came, "Just As I Am." Isn't that a tough one? You're sitting there hanging on to the edge of the pew and they're singing, "Just As I Am." How can you not walk forward to "Just As I Am"? All 15 verses. Joey and I, we stepped forward. We walked down the aisle. And what happened after that, I had no idea what was going to happen. Listen to these names. Billy Rogers, David York, David Williamson, David Wright, Greg Wright, Sue Price, some of you might know her, Jamie Price, Stephanie Price, Sonia Price, Kevin Moore, Jody Groff, Darla Groff, Laura Fields, Joni French. 18 of us walked forward that day. Joey and I, we'd made up our mind. We had no idea those people were coming behind us, but they did. I'll tell you what, that was an emotional day. It really was. Chester Groves. And what a day it was. And when I walked forward, I repented of my sins, confessed Jesus to be Lord of my life. I was buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism, thus taking on the gift of the Holy Spirit. I knew what I was doing. I really did. This morning, as we looked at God's Word, and as we remember your conversion experience and your baptism, I have to ask this question. Did it take? Did you know what you were doing when you walked down the aisle and you gave your life to Christ? Did you know what you're doing? In Acts 19, verses 2 through 7, the Apostle Paul, arriving at Ephesus, he asked the people this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? They answered, "No, we have not even heard of the Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism." John the Baptist, that is. They replied, "Oh, what baptism you received?" "John the Baptist," they said. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance." Then Paul told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the what? Say it. The Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke tongues and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. That passage is a passage of Scripture that has brought much controversy over the years. And many people have asked, well, they were baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Wasn't that enough? After all, Acts 2:38 does say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of your sin, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Right? Isn't that enough? Just to repent? No. They had to repent of their sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they had not done that. And Paul said, basically, you need to do that. And they were baptized. And if you've never been baptized here this morning for the forgiveness of sin, and if you've never confessed Jesus to be Lord of your life, and then you have no way of having the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't care what anybody tells you. That's true. So this morning, let's talk about your conversion experience. And did it take when you did that? And if you're taking notes, I want to mention three questions, or ask three questions. And if you answer no to any of these questions, you need to seriously consider rebaptism. Number one, did you receive the baptism of the Bible? Now, it's not in your outlines, but I want to mention four myths. Four myths that I have heard over the years, and so have many of you. Myth number one, turn over your paper and write these down if you want to. Myth number one, it doesn't matter how you were baptized, just as long as your heart was right with God. True or false? Ephesians 4, 5 says, there is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Not two, not three, not four, one. So if your heart is really right with God, you'll dig into the Scriptures and you'll find out what that one baptism is. Say amen, please. It's important you study it on your own. Don't take everything that I say. Take what the Bible has to say. Read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. Dig into it. The word baptism comes from a Greek word, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O, baptizo, and it means to be immersed or to be plunged down into the water. And if you've not been plunged or immersed into the water, then we need to talk. Because you have not obeyed the baptism of the Bible. Myth number two. You need to be baptized as an infant because we are born into a sinful world. And you need cleansing. Really. Sounds pretty good. It's not biblical at all. You read through the New Testament, you won't find infant baptism anywhere. Besides that, what does a baby know about sin? How does a baby repent of their sins? How does a baby confess Jesus Christ to be Lord of their life? How does a baby walk forward and get baptized and have any idea what they're doing whatsoever? That's hodgepodge. They can't. If you've been baptized as an infant, you weren't baptized, but you need to be as an adult. Myth number three. If you just believe in your heart, that's enough. I don't need to be baptized at all. It takes myth number one and takes it to a new extent, saying, hey, it's not the form of baptism. I'm not going to be baptized at all. I was sitting in a church service, and the preacher was saying this, oh, you don't need to be baptized. You just need to believe in your heart, and that's all you need to do. And then it wasn't 5 minutes later, he said, you know what? There's all kinds of different forms of baptism. I couldn't hardly sit down. And the guys that knew that I was in the service, they knew what I believed. And they kept looking over at me. Are you going to get up and say something? Oh, I want to. Right during a worship service, but I didn't do it. Do you know what he was doing? False teaching. That's exactly what he was doing. There is not more than one form of baptism. And yes, you do have to be baptized if you ever want to go to heaven someday. Amen? It's important. It's biblical. A lot of people take Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. They take Romans 10:9. They forget about Acts 2:38, forget about Mark 16:16, and they forget about 1 Peter 3:20, which says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Baptism is not only an essential part of salvation, it represents Christ's death, burial, and His resurrection. And we're all a part of that if we've been baptized. Colossians 2:12 reminds us, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through our faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. There's the amen. It's not enough just to believe in your heart. You have to obey. You have to be baptized. How many of you know Francis Chan? Ever read his stuff? Ever listen to him? Pretty good. He was preaching on the subject of baptism and he said this, when it comes to baptism, the Bible says, do it. So, go out and do it. That's pretty good theology, isn't it? And then he goes on to explain it. Friends, if you haven't been baptized, or you were baptized for the wrong reason, you need to be rebaptized. Myth number four. You have to be baptized again before you can become a member of this church. I have a good friend. I won't mention his name. He's not very far from here. He preaches at a church. If you want to join the church, you have to get rebaptized. So we sit down and we have a little discussion. And I say, I can't mention his name. Let's call him John, okay, so I won't mess up. I say, John, let's just dig out the Bible and say, and let's find out where it says you had to be baptized into the church. Well, it doesn't really say that, but you know, we're a denominational church, and we just follow that belief, and you got to be baptized if you want to be a part of the church. And I said, I'm not going to be a part of your church then. He was a denominational church. And I said, Brad, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And even though you think, okay, I did say it anyway. John. Anyway, I said, John, we're going to have to agree to disagree, and you're wrong. And I really did. You know what? We're still friends to this day. But I want you to know, you are not baptized into church. Don't ever believe that. You are baptized into Christ. And when you get baptized into Christ and you know what you're doing, when you walk down the aisle, you don't have to be rebaptized again. And don't let anybody tell you that you have to. Let's go back to your outline. Second question I need to ask concerning your conversion experience is this. When you were baptized, were you baptized for the right reasons? When I was 5 years old, I had my first experience of baptizing someone, something. My grandma had this kitty cat. Kitty cat was outside of Christ. Kitty cat had never been baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. He had never confessed Jesus to be Lord of his life, and I thought he needed to be baptized. So I took the cat, and I said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hold still. Reluctantly, I baptized that cat by forcing him underneath the water, and I held him there too long, and the cat died. It was my grandma's favorite cat. She comes outside and she starts crying. And I said, Grandma, it's okay. The cat was baptized into Christ. You'll see the cat in heaven someday. My grandma continues to cry and I couldn't figure out why. That was my first conversion experience through baptism. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you were baptized, did you know what you were doing? Only you can answer that. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've seen moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas say, Johnny, it's time for you're old enough, it's time for you to get baptized. So this morning you need to walk down the aisle and you need to get baptized. You need to do it. I'm telling you, you need to do it. And they push him down the aisle and they coax him down the aisle. And little Johnny has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea why he's walking down the aisle. Is he walking down the aisle for the right reasons? Absolutely not. He has not been taught. He has not been nurtured. He has not gone through the scriptures. And he don't know anything about repentance. He don't know anything about confessing Jesus to be Lord of his life. He don't even know what baptism means. He just knows that grandma and grandpa and mom and dad thinks, I need to go down the aisle and get baptized. So he goes down the aisle and he gets baptized. A few years later, he goes astray. He goes down the wrong path. He was going down the wrong path to begin with. He had no idea what he was doing. Have you seen it? In the church, have you seen that? I have. I'm going to use her name. She wouldn't care. Her name is Nina. She is from Clay City, and she came to me one day, and she said, Carson, I want to be baptized. Now, beware if you come to me asking the question, because here's the next thing I'm going to ask you. Why? And that's what I ask people. Nina, why do you want to be baptized? Well, everybody else is doing it. Nina, you're not ready to be baptized. Nina, you need to go home and you need to study your Bible. You need to get involved in a class that explains what baptism is all about. What repentance is all about. What confessing is all about. What the Holy Spirit is all about. The right form of baptism. You need to study all this stuff. She came back with me, back to me, oh, probably a year later. Wasn't it? Probably a year later. And I said, how you doing, Nina? What can I do for you? Carson, I want to get baptized. Why? Because I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because I'm a sinner in need of His grace. I want to confess Jesus to be Lord of my life. I said, Nina, I will baptize you. And that was a great day when she was baptized. Acts 2:38, get it in your mind, remember it, but don't just say it out of memory. understand what it means. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To repent means to turn from sin, to have an about face, to feel remorse, to feel guilt, to stop doing what you've been doing, to turn a 180, not a 360. Many people believe that I can go out and get drunk and I can go out and mess around on Friday night because Saturday or Sunday I can roll my sins back again. I'm going to tell you something, that's a lie of the devil. And not only is that a lie of the devil, Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may have new life." Oh, that's a beautiful verse. So I ask you this morning, why were you baptized, and were you baptized for the right reasons? Because if you weren't, guess what? You need to be rebaptized again. And I'd be more than happy to do that. Number three, the third and final question. Was your heart right with God when you walked down the aisle, and is your heart still right with God today? You know, that walk down the aisle, it's a long way. It's a long way. And I held on to that pew for a long time. My knuckles would get white sometimes because I knew what I needed to do, but the devil said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." And I held on, and I held on, and finally I said, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to let you do this anymore." And I walked down the aisle. And it wasn't that far down the aisle when I realized that Satan was holding me back and God was saying, "Go forward, go forward. You need to go forward." And I went forward. That's what we need to do. You know, I do practice private baptisms for people that don't want to walk down the aisle. But man, I love to see people walk down the aisle to confess their sins, before God in public, so that people see that witness. So that they too can be influenced to do the right thing, to walk down the aisle, to give their life to God. Now, when you're baptized, does that mean that all your problems are going to go away? Actually, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to increase. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble." I think the King James Bible says you'll have tribulations, trouble. So when you walk down the aisle, beware. Satan's going to work on you. And I have something for you older adults. If you're in the last quarter of your life, be very, very aware. Because Satan's going to work on you even harder. Because he wants you to mess up that last quarter of your life. Even though you've been running the race, you've been doing a good job that last quarter, he's going to work on you. Oh man, is he going to work on you? Can I get an amen? He's going to try to get you to mess up. Because he don't want you to be in heaven someday. He wants you to be in hell with him. He wants company. And can I just say this? He's getting a lot of it. He's getting a lot of it. But don't let that person be you. You stay strong. Stay strong. Don't just start well. You end well. And when Satan says no, you say yes. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 says, "If they escape the corruption of this world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again are entangled in it and overcome by it, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverb is true, a dog goes back to his vomit and a sow that is washed goes back to wallowing in the mud." You ever watch a dog lick up his vomit? It's sick. You ever see it? It's sick. Now, I've been in 4-H fair, and I've watched a sow. We get them, not sow, actually a gild or a barrow. We got them pigs clean, and we turn our back. And you know what that crazy pig does? He goes right down in that muddy water again, and we jerk him up. We were strong back then. We jerk him up, and we clean him again, and we take sawdust in there so he can't get dirty again. You guys remember those days? That's not near as sick as a dog licking up his vomit. Now you remember that, okay? Because that's what the Bible says about knowing the way of God and then falling back into your old way of God. It's better to have known the way than to go back to the way you were. So these proverbs are true. And no matter how long you've been a Christian, don't think it gets any easier, because it doesn't. Don't think that. Please be aware of Philippians 2:12-13. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to His will and to act according to His good purpose. His purpose in you. Now, if you cannot lose your salvation, why does Paul even write this? You know, if you can go out and do whatever you want to do because you're a baptized believer in Christ, Paul would have never wrote this. Here's the thing. Romans 6, stop sinning. If you're involved in sin right now, stop doing that, amen? Stop doing that. And get back to the fear and trembling thing about working out your salvation. Jesus reminds us in Revelation 2:10, be ye faithful unto what? Death. From beginning to end, and I will give you the crown of life. I've noticed something in the Christian life. It's easy starting out. It's a lot like a race. I never was a runner. Who's the runners in here? You run? How do you run? Pace yourself. You'll know when you get in the Marines. Pace yourself. Because if you start out real fast and you get about that halfway mark, they call it the wall, what happens? That's why I chew gum when I'm running. It gives me something to work through. And I don't run. Playing basketball with Austin, he likes to kill me. But you know what? It's easy starting out. It's hard to finish. But you know what Christ tells us to do? You be faithful. From the time of your baptism till the time you take your last breath, be faithful unto Christ, and He'll give you a crown of righteousness. I want to close with this. When I was at Lancaster, I received a phone call from a woman by the name of Velma Horde. She's gone on to be at the Lord right now. Velma Horde was 90 years old. And she calls me and she says, Carson, I need to talk to you. And I'm thinking, what did I say in my last sermon that made Velma so mad? And I couldn't come up with nothing. So I said, yeah, Velma, I'll meet with you, yeah. And I sat down and I was nervous all day. What is Velma going to say to me? So Velma Horde asked me this question. Carson, after that sermon you preached on, did it take? She said, I realized that I was baptized for all the wrong reasons. Carson, would you baptize me? And I'm thinking in the back of my head, lady, you're 90 years old. I hope that what happened to my cat don't happen to you. I actually said, Velma, I would be more than happy to baptize you. She came to the church, and it was private because she's a very, very private person. And there was only like five of us there, and I baptized her in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of her sin, and she received the gift of the Holy Spirit. When she came up out of that water, I don't know what happy as a lark means, but she was happy as a lark. She was so happy. Because she knew that after 90 years of life, she was baptized for the right reason. As they come to play this morning, I gotta ask you. Were you baptized for the right reasons? When you walked down the aisle that day, were you baptized for the forgiveness of sin? Did you confess Jesus to be Lord of your life? And were you buried with Him in Christian baptism? Because if you weren't, the invitation's for you. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never even made that good confession of faith. I want you to know the invitation's also for you. So as we stand this morning, won't you come?